Morning of today's Daf and Shavuos is Yudal. We're on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We are more than halfway through on Yud Gimel Amud Beis, but we're going to go back. We're going to start again with the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. There are a number of Karmen Chattises that are offered on Yom Kippur. Let's just backtrack for a moment. There are two seerim, there are two goats that are offered on Yom Kippur. So, but when I say offered, I don't actually mean offered because, as we all know, so the Shtei Seirim on Yom Kippur are going to be looking identical to one another to the best of the best of our ability. And then what's going to happen is we're going to have a go-around, we're going to have a lottery, and one of the goats is going to be LaHashem, the other one's going to be LaZazel. The one LaHashem is a chatas, is a carbon chatas, which is Hanasa Bifnim. It's done interior to the Beis HaMikdash, and it will be shechted, and there'll be a vidui over it as well, which we'll talk about later. But it's going to be shechted, and the dam is going to be sprinkled lefnai v'lefnim in the kodesh hakadoshim, and then it's going to be taken out to the kodesh and sprinkled in the direction of the parochas, and then it's going to be sprinkled the third time around the karnos hamizbeach. Similarly, there's also and then it's complementary seir's lazazel, and that seir is going to be thrown off a cliff outside of Yerushalayim. So these are the Tishnei Seirim. On top of that, there's also a par which is also brought as the Karban Chatas on Yom Kippur, and it's also Nasa Bifnim. In other words, it's the par Shel Kohen Gadol, and it too is going to be shechted where the dam is going to be sprinkled in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Paroches, Mizbeach, same thing as the Seir Nasa Bifnim. So these are the various Karbanos that are offered on Yom Kippur. Now, here's what we know for sure. The Seir Nasa Bifnim is there to resolve one aver for Klal Yisrael, and that's Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. Topic of discussion now for the last 2 weeks since we opened up the Masechta on Daf Beis. So the topic of discussion has been a person violating the Tumah of either the Beis HaMikdash or of Karbanos, meaning that he was Tameh, and not Bemezit, but Beshogeg. He forgot that he was Tameh, and then he either entered into the Beis HaMikdash or he ate Karban in that state of Tumah. He had a Yediya B'Tchila, then he went into Alama, and then he had a Yediya B'Sof. So for this, the Seir Naseh Shebifnim is going to be addressing this particular Chet as opposed to all the other Chataim. All the other Chataim are going to be covered by the Seir Meshtalech, but this particular Seir is going to be addressing this particular Chet as we've been discussing now for the last couple of weeks. Okay. What is not clear and is open now for a Machlokas amongst the Tanaim is as follows. The Seir Meshtalech is covering Shar Averos, as we've just established. Is that Shar Averos for all of Klal Yisrael and the Kohanim as well, or no? Is it just going to be Shar Averos for the Yisraelim? As far as the Kohanim are concerned, their Shar Averos coverage is coming from the part of the Kohen Gadol. So how exactly does that work? So that is the Machlokas amongst the Tanaim. And this is where we're going to open up today. We're going to be looking at Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We'll start from the beginning of the Braisa, the Tanya. We are about a third of the way down on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. It's the first word in the line is Yehuda Hi. And then we're going to start again with the Braisa. We read the Braisa at the very tail end of yesterday's daf. Here's where we begin. V'chiper es mikdash ha-kodesh zeh lifnai v'lifnim. So the Gemara here is quoting the Pasuk. And we're going to be darshing the Pasuk. Let me first start off by reading the Pasuk inside. The Pasuk reads, V'chiper es mikdash ha-kodesh zeh lifnai v'lifnim. V'esem izbech yichaper v'ala kohanim v'akola ama kal yichaper. Okay, so it's going to be providing a kapara. And from the list in the Pasuk, it seems to be that it's going to be specifically for Kodesh. And then it also mentions how it's going to be a kapar for everybody, Kohanim and Klal Yisrael alike. So let's now go through the Braisa, where the Braisa is going to dissect the Pasuk. V'chiperes mikdash ha-kodesh lifnai v'lifnim. So first of all, we're talking about areas. So the Kodesh is reference to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Es Ol Moed Zo Heichal. So the Ol Moed area, that's the Heichal. That's the building leading into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Mizbech, Mashmah, the Mizbech, as it would indicate, that's talking about the Mizbech, Yichaper, Elo Azaros. And the Yichaper is a reference to the Azaros. Kohanim, Kamashmah, the Kohanim is a reference to the Kohanim. And Im HaKahal, Elo Yisrael. And that's together in conjunction with Yisrael. Yichaper, Elo HaLevim. And the additional word Yichaper is coming to introduce also the Levim as well. Hushvukul and the kapara achas are all going to be receiving one kapara. Shemiskap and besira mishaleach, bishara veros, where they're all going to be receiving a kapara from the sira mishaleach, from the goat, which is thrown off the cliff, for all the averos div Rav Yehuda, that is shitas Rav Yehuda. Now, as Rashi points out over here, it is a little bit confusing in the pasuk because the pasuk is opening up with Tumas Mikdash. And then, by lumping together the Kohanim and the Levim and the Yisraelim. So now it's coming to indicate that there's going to be a kapara for Sharaveros for everybody. So it's a little bit confusing, and Rashi notes that, and Rashi simply points out we're going to have to break up the pasuk into two portions. But be that as it may, according to Rav Yehuda, the Seer Mishalech is affecting kapara for everybody, for the Kohanim, Levim, and Yisraelim. Rabbi Shimon Omer, and Rabbi Shimon says no. Keshem shadam seir nasa bifnei mechapel Yisrael tomas mikdash v'kadoshav, kach dam apar mechapel ha-Kohanim tomas mikdash v'kadoshav. So Rabbi Shimon says no. Rabbi Shimon says let's start with something we all agree to. The seir nasa bifnei is addressing tomas mikdash v'kadoshav for Yisrael, for Klal Yisrael. Given the dam of the par is addressing Tumas Mikdash VeKadasha for the Kohanim. Okay, those are givens. Now, Rabbi Shimon says, let's go one step further. U'kishem shevidiyav shel seir mishalech mechaper Yisrael b'shar averos, kach vidiyav shel par mechaper al ha-Kohanim b'shar averos. Now, there's a vidui done for the seir nasa b'fnim, there's also a vidui done for the par. So just like the vidui that is done, sorry, there's a vidui done for the seir mishalech. So just like the vidui that's done, for the Seir Mishalech is providing a kapar for Yisrael. Now, what is it providing a kapar for? Sharaveros. Now, of course it's Sharaveros, because the Tumas Mikdash VeKadasha for Klal Yisrael, for Bnei Yisrael, is coming from the Seir Nasa Bifnim. So then, the only thing left for them is Sharaveros. So just like the Vidui on the Seir Nasa Bechus, I'm sorry, I did that again. Just like the Vidui on the Seir Mishalech is going on Sharaveros for Klal Yisrael, so too when the Vidui is done on the par, it's going to be providing for the Kohanim a kapara for Sharaveros. Okay, so now we have the Shitas Rabbi Shimon mentioned over here, which is that the kapara for Sharaveros is going to be divided. For Klal Yisrael, it's coming from the Seir Mishalech. For the Kohanim, it's coming from the par. So the Gemara here has just a couple of questions it needs to resolve. Number one, Rabbi Shimon Havadei Hushvu. So now, as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, what about the pasuk we just quoted? Meaning the pasuk on behalf of Rabbi Yehuda stated very clearly that everyone is included as far as the kapar is concerned. So the Gemara says, you're right, my hushvu d'bnei kapar ninu. Mi kocha v'cha mechaper b'danafshe. Yeah. On Yom Kippur, everyone's getting a kapar. That part's clear. Where are they getting a kapar from? So that's going to be different. So for the Kohanim, it's coming from the par. For the rest of Klal Yisrael, it's coming from the Seir Mishalech. Okay. My time of the Rabbi Shimon. Now, what's the basis for Rabbi Shimon? Meaning for Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara is not asking this question because the Brisa states it very clearly. For Rabbi Yehuda, it's coming from the Pasuk. But where is Rabbi Shimon generating this from? Kedichsiv, the Pasuk says. V'lakach hishnei asirim. So the Pasuk in describing the taking of the two goats. So it kishir mishalech l'sir anasa bifnim. So by the Torah telling us that we take the two, it means there's a hekesh between the two. Masir and asa bifnim einu mechaper l'kohanim al tumas mikdash v'kadoshav dechsiv bei asher la'am af sir ha-mishalech einu mechaper l'kohanim b'shar averos. So once the two serim are mukash zelazev, so once there's a hekesh between the two of them, so now the Gemara says we're going to generate the following argument. Just like the sir nasa bifnim is only addressing averos of Klal Yisrael, so too the Seir Nasa Bechutz, or again, the Seir HaMishtaleach, is addressing only the sins of Klal Yisrael, not the Kohanim. Okay, Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yehuda it would counter that by saying, Amlecha l'hach itkish. What do you mean? That's exactly why there's a hekesh. Shiyu shavim b'mar v'kam avadamim. That they should be the same in appearance, in height, in value. Hu da'asa. That's why the pasuk is coming to make a hekesh between the two. Not the hekesh is not there to tell us who's getting a kapara from which carpet. No. As far as who's getting a kapara from which carpet, that goes back to the pasuk we quoted earlier. In terms of this particular pasuk and the hekesh, it just simply says they have to be to the best of their ability identical. Mantan lahad detan rabbanan. Okay. So where are we at right? Where are we at right now? A machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. And basically what's that issue over here is that everyone's going to be receiving a kapar Yom Kippur for both Tumas Mikdash and Kadashev and also for Shar Averos. It's just a question of which carbon is generating that particular kapara. So again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Seir Mishalech is for everybody, for both Kohen and non-Kohen alike, for Shar Averos, Tumas Mikdash for Kadashev, there you have a split. Where for the Kohanim is coming from Par, and for Bnei Yisrael, it's coming from the Seir and Asa Bifnim. Fine. According to Rabbi Shimon, a full division between Kohanim and Yisraelim. So as far as Yisraelim are concerned, their shower of eris is coming from Sir Mishalech. Their Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav is coming from the Sir Nasa Bifnim. As far as Kohanim is concerned, they're everything. Their Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav and their shower of eris is coming from the part of the Kohen Gadol. It's a good question. I was also wondering the same thing myself. Gemara doesn't address it super clear. In the Braisa, when the Gemara brought down the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, so the Gemara has had the Levium in conjunction with Klal Yisrael, but okay, that's if you dash in that pasuk.
Beit HaLevi's is separately.
Could be. Okay, could be. I think it's a great question. I'm not sure. So according to the Chacham, let me point out better. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Braisa said it very clearly. But according to Rabbi Shimon, I'm unsure. My best guess would be, but I'm guessing though. I'm not saying I know this. My best guess would be is that they would be with Klal Yisrael and not with the par. Man tana lahad tana rabbanan. So the Gemara quotes a brisa. V'shachat es seir achatas shalam she'in akonim is chaprim bo. So it says regarding the seir that it's for the am. Now again, this is something that we made very clear, that the Seir HaNasa Bifnim is for Bnei Yisrael, not for the Kohanim. That part's clear. Ain Kohanim is Kapar and Bo. So the Braisa starts off by saying, so the Kohanim are not getting a Kapar through it. Uva Mem is Kapar. So where do the Kohanim get their Kapar from? Beparashal Aaron. So they get it through the Par of Aaron. Now Yachol. Now is a Havamina, the Braisa says. Lo is Kapar Beparashal Aaron. No, maybe not. It's a phenomenal Havamina. Meaning right now, the Gemara is going to put the Kohanim in limbo. Meaning they're not getting from the Seir Nasa Bifnim, because it says Asher La'am. And right now, as a Havamina, they're not going to be getting Kapara through the Parashal Aaron. And why? The Gemara actually makes a very compelling argument. Sharei Kvar Nema Asher Lo. Because it says regarding the par of the Kohen Gadol, it's his. Meaning this is exclusively the par of Aaron. And so that means to say that not the Kohanim. Miata Elam Kapara. So right now, at this juncture, in the Havamina, so as far as the Kohanim are concerned, where are they getting their Kapar from? Nowhere. Not from the Seer HaNas Bifnim, not from the Par of the Kohen Gadol, because it's only his. So at this juncture, it's a phenomenal Havamina. They're not going to be receiving Kapar whatsoever. It's a Havamina. We know this is not where we're ending. Where are we going to put them? Kishuoma Yechaper Ala Kohanim Matzinolem Kapara. Now, we do know that they're receiving some sort of kapara, so where's the kapara coming from? So, Bamein, Miskaprim, Mutav, She's Kaprim, Beparashal Aaron. So now, basically, what we're left to do is make an argument in terms of where they're receiving a kapara from. It's not clear in the Pesukim which is providing the kapara. It is clear in the Pesukim they are receiving a kapara, and now it's going to be, I guess you would call it a guess, an educated guess, in terms of where they're going to receive the kapara from. So, So as far as Parashal Aaron, that would be the better address in terms of where they're getting Kapara from. Why? Because the Parashal Aaron is going to be providing not only Kapara for the Kohen Gadol, but for the Kohen Gadol's family. So you see already that there's some sort of expansion as it relates to the Parashal Aaron. It's not just Aaron, it's also his family. So once we have an expansion, so therefore we can extend that expansion to even the Kohanim as well. So, Valis Kapra B'Sir Nasa Bifnim, Shalohuta Mechalo, Eitzel Beso. On the other hand, Sir Nasa Shabifnim, so there's no expansion over there, meaning it is La'am, it's for the nation, meaning it's for Klal Yisrael, but that's it. Meaning the Kohen Gadol himself does not receive any Kapara for the Sir Nasa Bifnim. The In Mashiach Lomar, now the Brisa says, now we'll go even one step further in terms of making this argument. Arei Omer, Beis Aaron Baruch Hu Hashem, Beis Halevi Baruch Hu Hashem, Yirei Hashem Baruch Hu Hashem. Beis Aaron, the house of Aaron, meaning that the idea is that Aaron not only is the household, the head of household in terms of his own family, wife and children, but Beis Aaron would include also all the Kohanim as well. And from the Pasuk, actually, it's pretty clear, because it describes as Beis Aaron, then Beis Levi, and then Yirei Hashem. So in other words, clearly the compartmentalization in this Pasuk is the Kohanim in one grouping, the Levim in another grouping, and Yirei Hashem, which presumably is Klal Yisrael, but I guess you can argue that last point, is in another grouping. But at least the idea is that Beis Aaron is referring not just to the immediate family of Aaron, but to the Kohanim, the family of Kohanim.
Right.
Right. The pasuk is just to teach us this idea that Beis Aharon means that family of Aharon is a more expansive term. You're right. But it's not there to teach us who's getting a kapara. Mantana. So who's the author of this brisa? Okay, so we have now a brisa, and basically what the brisa was doing was struggling to find out where to put the kohanim in terms of kapara on Yom Kippur. Not from the Seir Nasa Bifnim, maybe from Parashel Kohen, but only after making some arguments that this is in fact so. So who's the author of this? Amar Rav Yirmiyahu de Loka Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says that it's not Rabbi Yehuda. Di Rabbi Yehuda Amar Kohen Miyashlam Kapara B'Seir HaMashalech. So the Gemara says, so because we know that according to Rabbi Yehuda, where do the Kohanim receive their Kapara from? They receive it from the Seir HaMashalech. And that's not the conclusion of this Brisa. So presumably the author of the Brisa is not Rabbi Yehuda. Umani. So Gemara kind of asks like almost like in a funny manner. Like who's the author of the Brisa? Well, we only have two choices and we rule that Rabbi Yehuda. So simple process of elimination. Like we only have one option left. So Rava Amar Rabbi Shimon Hi. Okay, I admit it's a strange Gemara. It's a funny Gemara. Like who's there's nobody else left. So anyway, so it's Rabbi Shimon. The Amar Kohanim Elan Kapara Misir Mishaleach. So it is in fact the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that the Kohanim do not receive their Kapara through the Seir Mishaleach, but rather it comes from Parashal Aaron. And now, in that context, you understand the Brisa, meaning the Brisa struggles to try to figure out where it's coming from. Because it's not coming from the Seir Mishaleach, that's La'am. And Parashal Aaron, well, that's exclusively Aaron, isn't it? So that's why the Brisa struggled. But then after struggling, the Brisa made a couple of arguments why the rest of the Kohanim are considered the family of Aaron and therefore go to Parashal Aaron. Abayim Arfilotem Rav Yehuda. Now Abayim says, no, let's go back to the suggestion that you initially rejected. No, the author of the Brisa is in fact Rav Yehuda. Hachi Kamar. And what you didn't understand in the beginning is what we were talking about. Meaning, yes, we were talking about a kapara, but a kapara for what? That part wasn't clear. And now the Gemara is going to clarify. Me'ata. Ein lam kapara betumas mikdash v'kadashav. Oh, now we're contextualizing the whole discussion. Meaning that we're not talking about shar averas. We're talking about specifically the avera of tumas mikdash v'kadashav. Keshu ama yichapei ala kohanim matzini shishlam kapara. So b'shar averas. So we know that they are receiving a kapara for shar averas. Meaning that's a given. And we also know that they're going to be receiving a kapara for tumas mikdash v'kadashav as well. And so therefore, it's an established fact that they are going to be receiving a kapara. Now, b'mahim is kaprim. Now what the Brisa is describing is, how are they receiving this kapara? Meaning, but again, the discussion is not going about shar averes. The discussion is specific to tumas mikdash v'kadashav. Mutav shi is kaprim, b'parashal aron, shari heta b'chalo, itza beso, v'ayis kaprim, b'sira nasa b'fnim, shari lehuta b'chalo. Okay, good. And now, we're going to be assigning their kapara of tumas mikdash v'kadashav to the Parashal Aaron. Good, that is Shitas Rav Yehuda. Meaning the entire Brisa can be Rav Yehuda. As far as Shara Veris is concerned, that's coming from Seir HaMashalech, but that's not what we're discussing. Meaning that's not open for the discussion. The discussion is specific to Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. And there is where the Brisa struggled, where to put the Kohanim. And now all we're now doing is reading into the Brisa now that we're going to make the argument that it should belong to Parashal Aaron. One, Huta Mechalo. Because we already see that Parashal Aaron has a small expansion, meaning that it's opened up to the family of Aaron. So with that small expansion, so let's continue and include the entire family. And then the second argument of the Brisa as well. Fine. Perfect. So now the Brisa can be learned like Rabbi Yehuda. So as opposed to previously where we thought that the only option is to assign the Brisa to Rabbi Shimon, the Brisa could also be going like Rabbi Yehuda as well. Umay im nafshech lamar. Within the Brisa gave two arguments. Why two arguments? So the Gemara says like this. V'chitem ha-beso ksiv. Kulan kruyim beso. I'm sorry. V'chitem ha-beso ksiv. Well, the Torah says beso. Beso means his family. But if it just said beso, it would have been just his immediate family. How do I know that includes all Kohanim? Kulan kruyim beso. Shenem ha-beso aron baruch hu es Hashem. Because of the pasuk of beso aron. Yireh Hashem baruch hu es Hashem. V'hai asher la'am la'achu da'aso. Okay. So, where do we stand so far now in the Brisa? Could go like Rabbi Huda, could go like Rabbi Shimon. It's just a question of what the Brisa was talking about. The contextualization of the Brisa. Was it talking about Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, or was it talking about Shar Averis? With that stated, once again, we go back to the Machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Huda. Where are the Kohanim receiving their Kapar from for Shar Averis? So again, that's been the topic since the beginning of this morning in terms of the Daf. Asher la'am lahachu da'asa hami baile dekam rachmana mida'am lehave. So the Gemara says now, Asher la'am is coming to tell me what? That the seer, Hanase Bechutz, is providing, sorry, I did that again, the seer HaMishtalech is providing a kapara for Klal Yisrael. To which the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? What we're actually learning from that pasuk is, who's paying for the seer HaMishtalech? It's paid for by public money. So, Ahu Tumas Adas Bnei Yisrael Nafka. The Gemara says, no. Ume Eis Adas Bnei Yisrael Nafka. No, what do you mean? As far as who's funding the seer HaMishtalech, we have a very clear pasuk that tells us who's funding it. Hi, Asher Lo, La'achu Da'asa, Hami Bai Lelechet Titania. Mishalohu Mevi. The Gemara says, now who's funding the Parashal Aaron? So, interestingly, it's not coming from public money. Parashal Aaron is funded by Aaron. So, Ve'eno Mevi Mishal Tzibor. It is not funded by communal money. So, the Parashal Aaron on Yom Kippur, even though it's very interesting, and what kind of carbon is it? Is it carbon Yachid or is it carbon Tzibor? It's really carbon Yachid. Meaning it is funded by, out of pocket, from the Kohen Gadol. And the Gemara is bothered because this is what we learn out from the Pasuk, Asher Lo. So, Lo Yachol Lo Yavi Mishal Tzibor, Shein Tzibor Miskapren Bo, Aval Yavi Mishal Achav HaKohanim, Shev Achav HaKohanim Miskapren Bo. Now, as far as funding it, so the Gemara says, look, I might have a Havamina, and a very good one, that I understand that the Jewish people shouldn't fund it because it's not providing for them a kapar whatsoever. I get that part. But at least let the Kohanim fund it, meaning the other Kohanim, help fund the partial Aaron because they are receiving a kapara for it. Tamalam Asher Lo. So the Torah says Asher Lo, meaning no. Funding of the part of Aaron on Yom Kippur, is it coming straight and only exclusively out of his pocket? Yachalo Yavi Vimevi Kasher. Okay. So fine. So we shouldn't have the other Kohanim funded. But Bidi Evid, it would be okay. Tamalam Shuv Asher Lo. Hakasav Shina Alav La'akev. An idea that we are going to see time and again throughout Seder Kachim, which is that when in Seder Kachim, when the Torah repeats itself, it's doing so to teach us that this is not just a lechatchila halacha, it's li'ikuva. It's something which is, if you don't have it, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah at all. Funding of the par of Aaron on Yom Kippur can and only can come out of Aaron's pocket, or I should say better, the Kohen Gadol's pocket, whoever the Kohen Gadol may be. So Tani Hachi Kakashile, so the Gemara says, fine, you're absolutely right. Meaning the Asher Lo in the Pasuk is in fact teaching us not who's getting a kapara, but who's paying for it. But the Gemara says, but that's exactly what bothers the Braisa. Now we're going to go back to the Braisa, and now we're just going to relearn the Braisa, but just the starting point being, right, who's paying for it? So Maishna Mida'am Delo Mechapa Delo Kachasri Be Mamona. Meaning as far as the nation is concerned, they're not receiving a kapara because they're not paying for it. So, now, really, what the Bryce is bothered by is the finances. The Kohanim are not receiving a kapara through the Seer HaMishtalech, they're not paying for it. Fine. And so, therefore, they shouldn't receive a kapara for it. Fine. So that rules out the Seer HaMishtalech. What about the par of Aaron? They're also not paying for that as well. Oh. So, as much as they're not getting a kapara from the Seer HaMishtalech because they're not paying for it, they also shouldn't be receiving a kapara from the power of Aaron. They're not paying for it. V'kamar kulan kriyan beso. So the Gemara says that's exactly why we need the chiddush of beso. The beso chiddush now is coming to tell us that despite the fact that they're not paying for it, they're still going to be receiving a kapara from the par. What kind of kapara? Again, the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they're receiving the kapara of Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav. According to Rabbi Shimon, they're receiving a kapara for all the Averis. But in any event, they're now considered, vis-a-vis Yom Kippur, they're now considered the family members of Aaron, and as the family members of Aaron, so they're receiving a kapara for it. Aaron is footing the bill. Aaron's going to be sponsoring their kapara, but that's what but Aaron's doing so as the head of household of all the Kohanim. So as far as Rabbi Shimon's concerned, so now everything works out pretty smoothly. Why? Because for every one of the chatos that are offered on Yom Kippur, there's going to be two viduis, plus also the actual sprinkling of the blood. So now, chad keneged asir nasa bifnim, chad keneged sir nasa bechutz, v'chad keneged sir mishtaleach. Okay, so, as far as the two viduis plus the actual sprinkling of the blood. So the Gemara says it actually works out very good. So again, according to Rabbi Shimon, where's everyone receiving their kapara? Yisraelim from one address, Kohanim from a different address. So for the seir, one for the seir nasabifnim, a second time for the seir nasabichutz, and one for the seir mishtaleach. Perfect. It works out very good. Ella Rav Yehuda trei vidui v'dam ha-par lamali b'chad vidui v'damo sagya. But according to Rav Yehuda, where the Kohanim receiving their kapar for Shara Veras? From the Sira Mishaleach. So that means that vis-a-vis the Kohanim, there's only one Avera that the par is addressing. Tumas Mikdash v'Kardashav. So that means now that really, how many viduim do you need? You don't need two separate viduim. You need only one vidui. So, v'chad vidui v'damo sagya. Echad lo v'echad labeso. One for him and one for his household, and that's it. In other words, then there's no extra viduim necessary for Sharaveras. So the Gemara says, so why are there two viduim by the par? So the Gemara introduces us to a new idea. Kedatan debe Rabbi Shmuel, kachi midas adin, no agas. So generally speaking, midas adin, according to the strict letter of the law, how should kapar work? Mutav yavo zaka v'chaper alachayev, v'ayav alchayev v'chaper alachayev. Meaning, even though everything could be done in one vidui, but for the par, it's going to be broken up into two viduim. Why? Because the first thing that Aaron's going to do is going to be providing a kapar for himself. Now he's cleansed. Now that he's cleansed, he'll be in a better position to be facilitating kapara for other people. Meaning, in theory, could all the kapara for Aaron and for the other Kohanim be done simultaneously? Sure. But Midas Adin demands that first you yourself are mechupar, and then after you're mechupar, then now you're in a better position to be providing and facilitating kapara for other people. And so even if you subscribe to the Shita of Rav Yehuda, and even if the par of Aaron is only providing kapara for Tumas Mikdash for Kadashav, still the Vidu is going to be divided into two stages. So first Aaron can provide himself a kapara, and then for the other Kohanim. Hajran Lach Shavua Shtayim, that is the end of the first parak of the Masechta. We're starting now the second parak. The second parak is going to start off the same. Because oddly enough, even though we've gone now 2 weeks into this Masechta, and we have really not spoken with any kind of specific nature regarding Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. I know that sounds funny. But consider that since the opening Mishnah of the first Perek, which was all front-loaded on Daf Beis, so basically all we've established is that there's a Karban Olah V'Yared that is a person needs to bring in the event that he was Metame Mikdash VeKadashav. And really all we've been discussing since then, or primarily what we've been discussing is, and so what are the other carbon chattises that are brought year-round? What exactly is the Seir Naaseh B'Chutz on Yom Kippur coming to accomplish? What is it? Well, I'll start from the center. What's the Seir Naaseh B'Fnim on Yom Kippur coming to accomplish? So again, let's just fill in the blanks for now. So that is for Yediyah B'Tchila, but no Yediyah yet at the end. And it's providing temporary coverage until you have a Yediyah B'Sof, at which point in time you're going to bring a Karban Olah V'Yared, right? Then we talk about the Seir Naaseh B'Chutz of Yom Kippur, what's that providing a kapara for? Where there was no Yediyah on the front end, but there was a Yediyah on the back end. Then there was the Seir of Yontif, and then there was the Seir in Rosh Chodesh, and what are they providing kapara for? So you'll go back over the first parak of the Masechta, and we had a machlokas in terms of what are those coming to accomplish. Machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, and a second version of Rabbi Shimon. Okay? So that's what we've been discussing. But we really haven't been discussing with any kind of specifics exactly this idea of a Karban Olah V'Yared for somebody who is Metame Mikdash V'Kadashav. And so with the introduction of the second parak, we're now going to go into more specifically Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav as it relates to the Karban Olah V'Yared. Let's start the Mishnah. Yediyah Tuma, Shtein Shein Arba. So same opening as the first parak, but again, now we're just addressing this particular Isser in the Torah of violating the Tumah of either the Beis Hamikdash or the Karbanos. So now, the cases. Very simple, very straightforward. Nitma, a person becomes Tameh. V'yada, and he knows that he's Tameh. V'nelma mimenu ha-Tumah, and he forgets that he's Tameh. V'zachar es ha-Kodesh. V'zachar es ha-Kodesh. And having forgotten that he was Tameh, he's now going to enjoy Karban. Nelam mimenu ha-Kodesh, v'zachar es ha-Tumah. Or he forgets about the karban, remembering that he's tamei. Or he can have a halam on both. having forgotten that he's tummy and having forgotten that this is a carbon. V'achal es hakodesh, and now he eats a carbon. V'lo yada, umisha achal yada, and after having eaten the carbon, he now remembers. And the memory that comes back to him could be on any one of the things that he forgot. Forgot that it was tummy, now he remembers his tummy. Forgot this is carbon, now he remembers it's carbon. Forgot both, remembers now both. So this is the classic example. The prototype scenario in which you're now chayv a carbon olav yorid. Again, just to remind us what we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. Carbon olav yorid, it's carbon chatos, but it's a special carbon chatos. It's mentioned at the end of Parshas Vayikra, it's in Perek Hay. The regular carbon chatoses are in Perek Dalid. This is a special carbon chatos in Perek Hay. It is called carbon olav yorid because it fluctuates, meaning the carbon is going to be brought, but a special dispensation is given out with this particular carbon in that it's going to depend on your economic status. If you are wealthier, so then it's going to be an animal. Less wealthy, you're going to bring a pair of birds. Even less wealthy, you're going to bring a carbon mincha. Okay. Nitma, next case in the Mishnah, where everything's the same, but now instead of Kodesh, we're going to be talking about Mikdash. Nitma, you were tame. Yada, you knew. Nel mami menu tuma. You forgot you were tummy v'zachros ha-mikdash, but you knew exactly where the base of mikdash was, and you walked into it. Ne'la mimenu mikdash v'zachros ha-tumah. You forgot where the base of mikdash was, but you knew you were tummy. Ne'la mimenu zeh v'zeh. Well, you forgot about both. You forgot you were both tummy, and you forgot where the base of mikdash was. V'nichnas la-mikdash, and you go into the mikdash v'lo yada, and you didn't know. Mishiyatza yada, and now, as you exit, you now remember. Harei zeh ba'olav yorid. So this is now going to be another prototype example of you bringing a carbon olav yorid. Now, the violation of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash does not matter whether you walk into the courtyard proper or whether you walked into an annexed portion of the courtyard, meaning that there can be a Tosefes HaZara under Beis Din's jurisdiction. Beis Din has the ability to annex a portion of Har HaBayis as giving it the same status as the Kedusha of the Azara. Again, let me just go over some basic information so that we understand and appreciate this a lot better. As far as the Beis HaMikdash is concerned, so there are concentric areas that as you go more interior, it has more Kedusha. Let's start off with Yerushalayim. So the walls of the Yerushalayim, Chomos Yerushalayim, so that already has a certain area, a certain level of Kedusha. Next from there, you're going to go into an area called Har HaBayis, squared off area, which it has even more Kedusha. Next from there, you're going to go into the Azara. Now, there is something, an area called Ezos Nashim. Right, we had a map around here once upon a time. Okay, map is gone. Upstairs. Map is gone. The map is upstairs. Okay, great. Okay. So, okay, fine. We'll bring it down. The next area after that is the Azara. There is an area called Ezos Nashim, but Ezos Nashim, quite frankly, has the same status as the Har HaBayis. So, after the Har HaBayis area, the next concentric area interior is the Azara. That's a temple courtyard. From there, the next area is the Heichal. From there, the next area is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Vis-a-vis this particular Isser, where you are in a state of Tumah, and you go in and you're going to be Chayiv Karis, we're talking specifically about the area of the Azara, the temple courtyard. So if a person who is Tumah goes into the Azara, he's going to be Chayiv Karis, and if he does so Bishogig, which is what we're describing over here, if he does so Bishogig, he's going to be Chayiv Karban Olav Yorei. Fine. Those are just simply, those are just the basics, the ideas that you need to know in order to appreciate this Mishnah. What we're describing now in the Mishnah over here is that the Beis Din has a right, if for whatever reason they feel they deem it necessary, they have the right to take a portion of the Har HaBayis and give it the status of the Azara. And so there's going to be an annexation process of the Azara. And here, as long as we're talking about the Tosefes Azara, so now the Mishnah is going to treat us to a discussion of what exactly is the formal procedure of annexing a portion of the Har HaBayis now to make it the Azara. Echad anichnas Azara, echad anichnas the Tosefes Azara. So whether you go into the Azara proper, you go into the annexed portion. Ein mosifin ala ir va'al azaras ela. So if you want to annex the city or the Azara, so here's what you need. First you need a king, melech, navi, you need a navi, or vitumim, and Sanhedrin shel shivim ve'echad. So you need all the major players. On top of that, uvishtei todas, you need two carbon todas. The Gemara later on is going to be discussing in more detail what the carbon todas are, exactly how they're going to be used in this procedure, in the ceremony. Shir, you also need music. Based in Mahalchin, V'shtei todas achareim. So now in terms of the procession, you have basin going, followed by the two carbon todas, achareim v'kol Yisrael achareim, and then you have the Jewish people following the at the end of the procession. Okay, where's the king? Where's the Navi? Again, all these details the Gemara is going to analyze. Ha'panimis nechals v'achitzonis nisrefis. As far as the two carbon todas, the one that was interior, that's going to be eaten. The one that was exterior, so that's going to be burned. Now, if you do not do this procession and procedure as we just outlined, so the annexed portion, it does not have the full status of the Azara, and so therefore, if somebody were to walk into that annexed portion where it was not consecrated in the manner we just prescribed, so then it doesn't have the full status of the Azara, and somebody goes in there, it's not going to be Chayav Kares if he goes in Bemezin, it's not going to be Chayav Karban Olav Yared if he goes in Bishogeg. Yeah, right, correct. In other words, once they annex it, so now it's going to have full status. Full Azara status. Right. Nitma b'Azara v'nelma mimenu tuma. So you become tummy now in the Azara. So here, we have been discussing up until now the Tumas Mikdash, where you go into the base of Mikdash after having already become tummy. In this next portion of the Mishnah, we're now going to be talking about the circumstance in which you become tummy in the Beis HaMikdash itself. And basically the idea is very simple. If you become tummy in the Beis HaMikdash, and not b'mezid, but b'shogeg, and you make an exit strategy that is quick and directly to the point, so you're good. Meaning, under those circumstances, you are not mitame mikdash. Meaning, yes, you were tummy in the mikdash, but to be mitame mikdash, it means that you had to have lingered in the Beis HaMikdash. Really, we could say it one of two ways. Either you were tummy outside and you entered into the base of Mikdash, that's a violation of Tumas Mikdash, or you become tummy inside and you linger. Now the point of lingering we're going to be discussing in the Mishnah itself, in terms of what establishes lingering, but right, loitering, if you will. But then and only then are you going to be chayav. If you're tummy in the Mikdash and you make an immediate exit strategy, you're good. And the Mishnah describes exactly this point. Nitma ba'azara, you become tummy in the azara, v'nema mimena tuma. Having forgotten now that you were tummy v'zachar as a mikdash, and remember the base of mikdash. Nelam imen mikdash v'zachar as a tummy, or you remember the base of mikdash, you forgot you were tummy. Nelam imen azev azel, or you forgot about both. Hishtachava o sheshabich zehishtachava. Either you bowed at that point in time during your state of unawareness, or you lingered the amount of time that it takes to bow. Obalo ba'arucha, or let's say instead of taking the most direct exit out of there, you decide that you're going to spatzir a little bit as you're exiting, chayev. So under those circumstances, you're going to be chayev. Biksara pater, but if you take the shortest way out, so you're going to be pater. Zui mitzvahs esay shebemikdash she'ein chayevan aleha. Now this is going to be a positive commandment in the base of mikdash that you're not going to be chayev. What do you mean? What does that mean? You're not going to be chayev? Rashi over here points out, based in par bahara'a velo kohen mashiach kedemafarsh begemara. Meaning we're talking now about two special karbanos that are offered either by the Beis Din or by the Kohen Gadol. In the event that Beis Din or the Kohen Gadol make an erroneous ruling, okay, how can Beis Din make such an erroneous ruling? Okay, I'm going to reveal some secrets to you. They're human. They make mistakes. We all do. So Beis Din is going to make, in the event that Beis Din makes a ruling and the mistake is such where it results in a chi of kares, if done intentionally, the person, however, or in this case, Klal Yisrael did it because Beis Din said it was okay. So under those circumstances, Beis Din itself now has to bear the brunt of that, and they're going to have to bring a special carbon. It's called a Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur. It's a carbon specific to Beis Din for coming out with an erroneous ruling. Similarly, if a Kohen Gadol gives a Psak Halacha and he himself acts based on his own ruling, so he too has a special karban that he needs to bring. These karbanos are mentioned in the fourth parak of Sefer Vayikra. What the Mishnah now is teaching us is the following, is that even though going into the Beis HaMikdash in of itself, if done intentionally, while in a state of tuma, is a chi of kares, even though that's true, if Beis Din offers out an erroneous ruling to this regard, or if the Kohen Gadol offers an erroneous ruling in this regard, And based on their erroneous ruling, if Beis Din does so, if Klal Yisrael violates that ruling, or if the Kohen Gadol makes the ruling, and he violates his own ruling, so you're not going to be bringing the special Parhelm Davashal Sibor, or the special car, the special seer for the Kohen Gadol. The ruling is that somebody whose stomach can come in. They made such a ruling. So, under those circumstances, they're not. Ezohi mitzvah esay shibin nida shechayav an alaha. Now, if they gave a ruling which has to do with a man having relations with a nida, so under those circumstances, they would be chayav. Now, what a strange jump to go from the topic of Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav to that of nida. So Rashi points out over here a couple of things. One, why are we making this jump? So Rashi points out because you know your Mishnah in Horios, and I can understand if you don't know your Mishnah in Horios. It's not a popular Masechta. We are going to be learning in the Daf Yomi. So if you know your Mishnah in Horios, so the Mishnah in Horios actually contrasts the Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav and that of Anida. So in other words, the construct of that Mishnah in talking about these special Karbanos is actually making the jump from Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav to that of Anida. Also, Rashi points out, just in terms of procedurally, they're very similar to one another. I know that sounds strange, but right, hear me out. Meaning, when it comes to Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav, we're talking about somebody entering and somebody exiting. And we talked about the entrance procedure and the exit procedure. So in terms of Anida, also, there's an entrance and there's an exit. And now you'll see that the case of Anida is going to be, in this construct, very similar. The Mishnah actually points it out. Man's having relations with his wife. And she says now she's Anida. And then he exits immediately. So Chayiv, under those circumstances, he's going to be Chayiv. It's interesting. It's the opposite of the entering into the Beis HaMikdash, where if you go into the Beis HaMikdash, so there you need an immediate exit in order not to be chayav. So when a man having relations with his wife, and she then says that she's anida after he entered, so then under those circumstances, immediate exit is going to result in a chiyav. Because that is going to provide a hana for him. And having hana while being mishamish benida is going to be an isser kares. So under those circumstances, if Beis Din issued a ruling, and their ruling was is that you should exit immediately under those circumstances, and you had a certain number of Klal Yisrael following that ruling, so under those circumstances, they're going to have to bring a Parhelm Davashal Tzibor. So in the case of the exiting in the Beis HaMikdash, a ruling, a Horaz Beis Din, is not going to result in a special karban. For a Mishamish Benida, a ruling of the Beis Din is going to result in a special karban. Why the distinction? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to explain why that is. And finally, let's finish up the Mishnah for today. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hasheretz v'nela mimenu, al helam sheretz chayiv enu chayiv al helam mikdash. A person is only going to be chayiv a karban olav yared if what he forgot was that he came into contact with the sheretz. If, however, he forgot about the area of the Beis HaMikdash, that is not going to be the kind of halama that's going to result in Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav. We already pointed out some time ago that the Mishnah does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, there are not four cases, but there are in fact only two cases. Rabbi Kiva Omer Venela Mimenu Vuhu Tameh Al Halam Tumachai Venu Chayv Al Halam Mikdash. Now Rabbi Kiva seems to be making the same exact point, but just generated from a different pasuk. We'll discuss that more in the Gemara. And Rabbi Shmuel Amar v'nelam v'nelam shteipam and l'chayv al halam tumah v'al halam mikdash. And Rabbi Yishmael says, no, it says the words v'nelam twice in the pasuk, one to teach us about halam tumah and the other one to teach us about halam mikdash. Meaning that Rabbi Shmuel is in agreement with our Mishnah that there are in fact four cases of halama. Okay, well, let's just recap. We'll stop here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Gemara. Let's just quickly recap. We finished today the first parak of Shavuos. We spoke out the machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda that was found at the end of the Mishnah and Daf Beis Amud Beis. I know that takes us back a long time, but that's where the Mishnah was. Where is everyone getting their kapara on Yom Kippur? Four, Tumas Mikdash Vekadashav. Kohanim are getting it from the par. Klal Yisrael is getting it from the Sir Nasa Bifnim. Everyone agrees. Shara Veras, where is everyone getting their kapara from? According to Rabbi Yehuda, they're all getting it from the Sir HaMishtaleach, the Sir Lazazel. Ah, I did it right today. I did it right in that round. Oh, thank God. Okay, and as far as Rabbi Shimon is concerned, that too is going to be divided. And for Shara Averas, Klal Yisrael is getting it from the Sir HaMishtaleach. For the Kohanim, it's coming from the par of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, and then the Gemara just basically, for the rest of the Perek, just spoke out What's Rabbi Shimon going to do with these set of psukim? What's Rabbi Yehuda going to do with these set of psukim? We quoted a brisa. We wanted to define authorship of the brisa, and we also discussed, according to Rabbi Shimon, what is with all the viduim of Yom Kippur, specifically for the par. Seemingly, they are unnecessary. Sorry, according to Rabbi Shimon, it works that well. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what is with all the viduim? And then we started today the second parak of Shavuos is going to be dealing with much more detail regarding the actual avera of Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. You need a yidia on the front end, you need a yidia on the back end, as we're going to be learning in the beginning of tomorrow's shir. That's a novel idea, generally speaking, for Yisuri Karsan, for Karman Chatas. You don't need a yidia both on the front end and the back end. For Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav, you do. That's what we established in our Mishnah. We also talked about specifically what area in the Beis Mikdash you have to go into in order to warrant this particular karban. You have to go into the Azara, or in the next portion of the Azara. The Mishnah taught us how exactly is the process of annexation. So the Mishnah gave us some of the details. We'll talk more about it in the Gemara upcoming. And then we talked about the Par Helam Davos Shel Tzibur, when the Beis Din makes an erroneous ruling, and the people follow the erroneous ruling. So as it relates to Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav, even if they offer an erroneous ruling, there's no Karban Helam, Par Helam Davos Shel Tzibur. As opposed to, let's say, something like Mishamish Benida, where if they do offer an erroneous ruling, they're going to have to bring a Par Helam Davos Shel Tzibur. We explain why we contrasted these particular Averos, and tomorrow we open up with the Gemara.